You are listening to episode 165 of the Mindful Productivity Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Steckler, and today I get to welcome an amazing guest to the show. Joining me today is Melanie Knights of the Entrepreneurial Outlaws podcast. And oh man, do we talk about what it means to be an entrepreneurial outlaw, to do things your way, to step into business and living your life in a way that means you're deciding what you do. You're not just following a bunch of online gurus and blindly having faith that they know what success means for you. I cannot wait for you to hear this conversation. I cannot wait to introduce you to Melanie and have you get to know her. She is a true delight. And let's go ahead and jump into today's podcast so you can see for yourself. Welcome to the Mindful Productivity Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Steckler, and this is the place to be to live a more mindful and productive life. If you're ready to turn daily chaos into calm and start your days with intention, then get ready to join me as we dive deep into mindful living and personal productivity. It's time to connect with your true self so you can live the life you want to live. And it all starts now. I hope you've got your favorite cozy cup of tea because we are about to dive into this amazing conversation. I don't know about you, but when I first heard the term entrepreneurial outlaw, it resonated with me so much. I was like, ooh, yes, this is totally for me. Because over the years, I really have grown tired of the hustle culture, the push to always do more. And I have to admit that I was also part of that. And although we do have seasons in our lives where maybe we work harder, we do more, I realized and I did some soul searching over the past year, and I've really come to see how much of that stuff is ingrained in how I view myself and my self-worth. And this is why this conversation today with Melanie is so important and so powerful, because we really start to explore what it means to do business your way, what it means to do business where you're not constantly stressing out your nervous system. What does it mean to create content and do things the outlaw way with your marketing so that you really feel aligned and connected to your business and to all of the people supporting you? There's so much we cover in here, and I want to go ahead and dive in. But before we do, I want to go ahead and give Melanie a formal introduction. So Melanie Knights is a self-published author, business mentor, and host of the podcast Entrepreneurial Outlaws. She describes her work as the entrepreneurial intersection of strategy, spirituality, and self-inquiry, where she supports creative folks in building successful, aligned, and soul-fulfilling online businesses while breaking the rules. Melanie is an advocate for building businesses that serve your lifestyle, encouraging you to develop and nurture strategies which allow you to mold your business around your life rather than trying to fit yourself into a box. Her deep love for storytelling found in country, Americana, and folk music continues to inspire her work and has paved new and exciting paths for her business as she continues to break molds and challenge the status quo of online business. Yes, I cannot wait. Let's go ahead and get started. And you can hear all of this from Melanie herself. Melanie, I'm so excited to have you on the podcast today. Thank you so, so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here too.
Before we get started, would you mind telling us a little bit more about yourself and the work that you're doing?
Yeah, of course. My name is Melanie. I live in the UK and I've had a business for around, 5.5 years now, I think. Been in the online space. I started off as a health and fitness coach, which feels like a million years ago. And over the last 5.5 years, I've probably burned down what I was doing and pivoted and restarted 3 times, because what I realized is that this was a really long journey. I feel like every time I felt like this is it, it was like, oh no, this is just a plot twist in the story. And a couple of years ago, I came out of a lot of business coaching experiences and a lot of relying on other people to tell me what to do. I was looking outside of myself a lot. And what I discovered was that A, I was terrified because I didn't know how to do this business thing on my own, but I also along the way learned that I needed to figure out who I was. And in that process of figuring out who I am as a business owner and who I am outside of my business, I started to recognize lots of different areas of online business that I found to be really problematic, things that I had been taught that had been, I've discovered, deeply rooted into the way I was doing business. Yeah, I never really agreed with them. And about 18 months ago, I started, right around the time we went into lockdown here, I think I was like, you know what, I'm just going to start telling people what I think about online business, because why not? Now seems to be a great time to just be really, really transparent. And I discovered I wasn't alone. And so that's kind of formed the last 18 months of my business. Ended up creating my podcast, Entrepreneurial Outlaws, which you helped me do. You challenged me when I came to you with my first idea, and you were like, I think you could do something, you know, maybe different. And Entrepreneurial Outlaws was born last October. Well, that was when we aired. And since then, I have gone on to create a journal, a membership I call the Outlaw Collective. And the work we're doing right now is really focusing on challenging the status quo of online business. I consider myself to be more of an anti-bro marketing mentor than anything else, but it's a bit of a mouthful.
No, I love this. And I'm like, where do we even start, right? Because there's so many things that you do that are so helpful. And also wanted to touch really quick on the fact that I think it's really common to pivot a lot in the beginning of starting a business or to step into the role of entrepreneur. I mean, I'm looking back at like before I even started a business, like, gosh, over 10 years ago, I remember I had blog, like food blogs, you know, and fitness blogs, similar kind of stuff. And then I pivoted a lot too. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs feel like they're failing if they do that, or that something's wrong, or you see all these people online and it looks like they're starting their first business for the first time right out of the gate, when really most people, I feel like, have done a few things before they kind of hit the ground running. And that's what I see that you've done with Entrepreneur Outlaws too, is you had time to experiment and play and give yourself that opportunity to do that. And because of that, you were able to really tap into what you need. And it's really cool to see.
Thank you. And I agree 100%. One of the things that came up for me a lot last year was, it's almost as if we don't give ourselves permission to change our minds. Mm. I think a lot of the narratives in online business, and I know you've touched on this in an episode before, is like one thing. Like there should be one thing. And so for the longest time, because I didn't know enough, I hadn't done enough personal development work for myself, I didn't know that one thing, one marketing plan, one product, it wasn't going to be enough for me. I don't think I ever really understood that my creative personality meant that I am a creative, and realizing that you can be a creative no matter what your business or your job title is. And I've always been cool to that, but it was like this really confused, because I started off as a coach, that was like all I knew. And then I became a service provider, and that was all I knew. And those things were great, but they never really touched on the fact that actually I need to be creating, and I need to be creating in a way that's really aligned with my personality and gives me choice, because I get bored really easily. And so for a long time, I was really hard on myself because I thought that I'm flaky and I shouldn't be doing this. And you're right. Over the last 5.5 years, I've met so many people in online business who I still know now. And actually they're on their like third or fourth or maybe fifth or even more iteration of what they're doing, or they've gone back to corporate and come back again. So I think it's such a permission slip to realize that most of us don't just do one thing for the rest of our lives.
For sure. And I think, you know, it's easy, I think, for some business owners to teach that model. Like if it works for you to do one thing, like I can see how that can build momentum, right? You're marketing one thing, you're only talking about one thing. That's awesome. But for those of us that have this more right-brained, you know, I always get confused with left and right brain, but you know what I'm saying? The creative brain side of ourselves, it feels more like a hindrance. Like, I don't know if you felt this way, but I cannot tell you how many times in the first 3 years of building my business, I would be staring at a Google Doc, going back and forth between my computer and my husband, being like, okay, here's my elevator pitch. Nope, that's not it. Okay, wait, what's my niche? Okay, I help women between the ages of 25 and 26 do this one thing in this specific place in the country. And I remember just spending so much time trying to figure that out. And guess what? I wasn't making any sales in my business, right? And I thought it was because I wasn't niching down. And I've only found that the more I allow my creativity to be a part of who I am and what I do, that it's possible to make money in endless ways.
Yep. I have 100% felt that way. I talk about that a lot because how many client avatar worksheets and experiences or whatever you want to call it, I have done. And everyone was like, you have to niche down. You have to pick a niche. And I'd pick a niche and I'd be like, I'd be there for like 5 minutes. I'd be like, or I would launch and I'd have 15 people and they were all from different backgrounds. And I was like, well, okay, that's not helpful. It was so confusing.
Exactly. And one of the things, this kind of leads me into the first thing I wanted to talk about with you is I love that in your content, like around this, you're not afraid to be yourself. You're not afraid to be different, to be yourself, to be an outlaw, you know, and which really leads us to just that. What is Entrepreneurial Outlaws and what does it mean to be one? And could you maybe speak on like the road that got you to that place and to identifying like, this is really what I want to do?
Yeah, I love this question. I think that to answer the first part of your question about what is Entrepreneurial Outlaws, first of all, I feel like it can be whatever we need it to be. If you identify as an entrepreneurial outlaw, that's like enough. For me personally, when I talk about it, the backstory of Entrepreneurial Outlaws is actually rooted in a passion of mine, which is country music, Americana music, folk music. There was a movement in country music back in the 60s where in Nashville, they wanted artists to kind of fit into this very Dolly, I love Dolly Parton, but it was a very Dolly Parton way of putting your artistry out there. Like they wanted a certain voice. And if you were slightly more rock and roll, you were not really welcome. So there was a group of artists who really wanted to be country music artists, but they didn't want to wear sequins or glitter. They wanted to just wear jeans and a shirt. They wanted to just play their music. They wanted to have control over their creative integrity. And so they left. They left Nashville and they actually went to Austin in Texas. And what happened was they went out there and started playing the songs they had written. They started playing the music they had written. And these people who didn't feel like they fit into country music, and it was a really diverse group of people who didn't identify with country music as it was at the time, really found themselves identifying with their stories, their songs, their lyrics. And they formed an audience, and they formed a really big audience. And it was this really, you had people from like bikers to hippies, like it was this really vast audience. And what happened was then Nashville wanted them. They were like, well, we want you, come back. And when they came back, they said, you know, well, we're not going to let go of our creative integrity. We want to demand that we have control over who plays in our band. We want to have control over what songs we put out, how the album feels and looks. And they definitely had problems, but they ended up being called Outlaws. They ended up, it was Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson, Jesse Coulter, and another guy whose name I can never remember. But they ended up forming this outlaw country movement, and it's been known as that. And I was, for myself as a hobby of listening to country music and listening to music and doing research, I really sat with this kind of in 2019 and was like, I really identified with this feeling of not fitting in with online business, the ways in which people were telling me I had to do things, whether it was I had to launch in a certain way, or I had to use a certain number of, or I had to create a certain number of posts per week for Instagram or whatever it was. There were so many rules, and I'm somebody who naturally follows the rules, but I challenge things, I question it. And so I felt very, very conflicted by this. And it was in 2020, I was planning to start a podcast and I had come to you with an idea. You said to me, I think you could do something that represents what you talk about. And I was on the call with my coach and I said to her, you know, I just feel like an entrepreneurial outlaw. Mm. And we just looked at each other and we're like, oh, that's it. That's it. And I just ran with it. And now Entrepreneur Outlaws is really about challenging the status quo of online business. So for me, the status quo of online business is really rooted in bro marketing. And bro marketing is not a recent phenomenon. I mean, if we look back at marketing, we've likely all experienced or heard of bro marketing in the form of car salespeople or door-to-door salespeople or cold callers who phone us trying to sell us something. And it's not that it suddenly started to happen. It's that it's been around for decades. It's been taught through corporations and sales teams. But we saw it in the rise of online business, and we naturally started to see it occur here. And the thing that's really important to recognize about bro marketing is that it's not gender specific. I mean, these marketing tactics are used by various genders. But if we go back to the very beginning of online marketing and business, it seems to start with a small group of people who happen to identify as male, and they continue to dominate their industry. And they tend to dominate the industry that I'm working within. So although I don't consider myself to be a business coach, I try to avoid that label as much as possible. I kind of feel like Entrepreneur Outlaws is like the anti-business coach. It's no, more I know about what you tapping mean. Into you. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I think, and you thank you so much for telling the backstory of this, because I haven't heard you say that before in this way. And it was like, I really resonated with it a lot. I'm sure a lot of people listening do too. And it's also what I hear you saying is there's a bigger expansive way to invite people into what we're offering or what we're selling. And these, you know, bro marketing strategies or old boys club or whatever you want to call them kind of strategies, they don't touch on, I mean, they feel very restrictive in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. One, like as a marketer, they've always felt, you know, and again, I don't want to put like, I don't want to cast a wide net and say that like, this is what bro marketing is. And like, if you do any of these things, like it's bad. I think there's nuances to it and blah, 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 blah. Right. But I think what I'm really hearing is just like, you know, the outlaws that started with country music is that there's more people out there that want to be invited to things in different ways. And it's refreshing to do things in different ways. And what you're saying is, hey, we don't have to keep doing it this way. We can actually do it in a fun way that feels good as a marketer, as an entrepreneur, and it can feel different and more expansive to the people on the other end receiving it too.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I've been doing a lot of research because like you just touched on, there are nuances to it. And sometimes I, truth be told, think that I'm like at one end of the scale and I'm like, any of this is bro marketing and I'm not doing any of it. But I'm able to stop and say, okay, that's how I feel. And do I really feel that? And I would try to look at it from an objective point of view of like, okay, I can still trust somebody just because they use this certain thing that I wouldn't use. And I looked for definitions of bro marketing, and there is no hard definition, which is great because I've, you know, been thinking about what my definition is. And I think you have to define it in kind of two ways. I feel like there's two sections to it. It's calculated and manipulative marketing that preys on people's insecurities and uses their trauma and fears to scare them into buying something. But it's also scripted sales tactics that often encourage someone to get into debt, to make a payment, promising unrealistic and privileged results that don't take into account someone's unique circumstances.
Ooh, and those are so good. I love those definitions.
Well, I feel like that's a big enough catch-all, right? It's like, it's not saying you can't use a timer or you shouldn't use this funnel. Right. But it's like, if you're doing this, then you're doing bro marketing.
Well, it's like what I hear you saying too is it's a lack of transparency, right? Because like that's how I feel is if I go to someone's page and there's a countdown timer, that's like not necessarily a turnoff if they tell me about it, right? Like, you know, for example, sometimes I use countdown timers in my business and I tell them why, like, this is what this is, or I'll let people know. I don't think I currently have any evergreen like funnels going on in my business now, but I know in the past when I have, like, I'll let people know like, hey, this is what's happening, or you signed up at this time, so here's how this is working. And I think there's nuances to it. I think it's going to feel different for everybody on both ends. But for me, it's really just tell me what you're doing. Like, you know, if I landed on a page the other day, it was, can't remember what the offer was for, but I clicked on it and immediately I had less than 5 minutes to make a decision to save $50. And then I, you know, I refreshed the page and guess what refreshed? The countdown timer. And I was like, okay, like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's that kind of stuff that I'm like, really, really? So creating transparency around it, I think, is important. And also, I think, you know, people are just smarter now, right? We know that the things aren't going to end, or, you know, I'll tell people like this offer is ending or we're starting on this date. But, you know, I'll also tell people like, if you email me like the next day or the next week, I'm not going to be like, well, that's, you know, I don't know. I'm going on a tangent, but I think you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do. And I agree. I think that you have to really tap into your intuition. You're right. We are savvier than ever. You know, it's the same way, like even 3-4 years ago, we were not giving our email addresses away for nothing. Like we wanted a freebie or a lead magnet. Now we're becoming savvier around, excuse me, launches and whether it's an evergreen or a live funnel and whether people are actually telling us the truth about, you know, is this door actually going to close? Or if I join your funnel again, are you going to open it again tomorrow for me?
Right.
And, you know, again, that's up to them. Like they can decide, but I think as consumers, because we are all consumers as well within this industry, you know, we're learning from each other and from other people. I think it's just really important that we understand our own terms, our own business terms, how we want to run our business, where we kind of draw a line in the sand. And that's why I say the Entrepreneur Outlaws is really whatever we want it to be. You know, as long as if we identify as that and we know that we don't haven't always felt like we fit in, then it's really about a journey of understanding what it means to be an entrepreneur to us, to ourselves. You know, what does my version of success look like? And those are the kinds of conversations I'm having, because I think we lose so much of that in the process.
Yeah. I actually wanted to bring, I'm like bringing this up on your Instagram right now, because you had a post recently that really resonated with me. It was about money mindset and like what you used to think of it as. I actually laughed out loud because here, I'm going to read it right now. We'll post this in the show notes, but it says, Okay. Yeah, what we've been told money manifestation is. And then most of it is dreaming, wishing, meditating, good vibes only, positive thoughts, believing it's already yours. And then there's a good chunk of it that's reading a Jen Sincero book. And I laughed so hard because that's so true. Like that's definitely what I used to think of it as. Right. And then you have your next slide and you have it broken down, like what it actually is: setting objectives that feel good and excite you, working towards your goals, checking in with yourself, your spiritual routine, knowing what you want. And I think this just that this whole second slide is just does such a good job of basically explaining what it means to be an outlaw in a lot of ways too. It sounds like. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I noticed that I found my Jen Sincero book the other day and there's so many post-it notes in there. And I was just like, oh my God, I was so upset. I'm like, my hand is raised. I read that book from cover to cover and I was just like, okay, is this it? Is all I have to do? But you know, that's the thing. When that book came out, it was like, it was hot and it was the thing that every business coach was prescribing. And this again is one of the reasons why I do what I do, because I came from business coaching experiences where I was being told that I just needed to journal about it. Now, I love to journal. I create a whole journal, but you can't rely on that. And it felt like it was a prescription, you know, read this book. Well, again, it doesn't take into consideration personal circumstance or, you know, how I'm living my life or whether I'm privileged or I'm not privileged or my education. There are so many different things that impact our ability to, in this case, manifest things, that it's really difficult to just prescribe one thing. And this is where I think a lot of tapping into who we are as business owners and understanding what we need, like that graphic says, you know, knowing what you need. And that's really, for me, something that keeps coming up time and time again. If there were an outlaw framework, which at the moment there is not, but that would be the first thing, you know, identifying what you need from every single phase of your business. What do you need from social media? What do you need from your marketing? What do you need from your launches? What do you need financially? We don't ask ourselves that. We get told you should want this, or you want six figures. And if you don't, then you're not welcome here. But really, what do we need? Do we need six figures? We can want it, and that's great. And I'm not I want everyone to dream as big as they can, but I also think that sometimes the math doesn't quite work out and we need to remember where we're at in business. And I think it comes back to a lot of transparency and a lot of just understanding that it is a long game. You know, it's not this, we don't suddenly wake up and we've made six figures overnight. That example is not the norm. It is a handful of people that have made those big numbers and they tend to still dominate the industry. And so we look to them for answers. And that's kind of my work, is challenging that and saying, okay, that's great, but is that you? Do you have a team? Do you have these things? Do you have that energy and capacity to run that kind of launch? Because I don't.
Yeah.
I do not have the capacity to do that.
I love that you're empowering people to not just trust themselves, but it's okay to find success, like define your version of success. And that's one thing I really realized in the past year. I moved away from one-on-one coaching completely. And now I'm a completely like course business model business. And I remember feeling for so long that I had to coach one-on-one. Like that was what I had to do. Like I went to school for that. Like that's what I, you know, invested my money in. And what I'm really hearing too is like being an outlaw at the core of it really just means trusting in yourself. And I think there's a lot of things in the industry, unfortunately, or online that we see that you start a business and it's almost like the first thing you're taught is don't trust yourself because you have no idea what you're doing. Don't trust yourself. Don't do multiple things. Like, and I get the advice and I get where it's coming from, like, because we've all made mistakes and we've seen how things work, but I wish that that would shift. And that's what I see with you doing this. And, you know, I've always thought about starting an online business and what kind of confidence you have to almost rebuild. And I don't know if this will resonate with you, but I remember when I started my business, at one point I told my husband, I said, I feel like I'm 14 again and I'm like trying to find a boyfriend. Because what I mean is, I remember being that age and literally looking up online, like these really weird articles, like how to tell if a boy likes you, or like how to know, like if your hair is like the right way. So like what this means or whatever. And we didn't even have like text. I think at that point it was like phone calls, but I remember so desperately trying to figure out what boys might be thinking about me that I didn't spend time like really trusting in myself and doing things that mattered to me. I put all of the, you know, effort and energy outside of myself. And I noticed myself doing that again when I started a business. It was, well, what do other people think I should do? Or let me put out endless surveys to audiences that I may or may not want to work with and ask them what they think I should do. And ultimately what changed was when I put all that aside and just listened to myself and asked myself the very questions that you just asked.
Yeah, I definitely felt like that. I felt like I was back in high school. I felt like I was trying to fit in. Mm-hmm. And for me, real high school, it was not the most enjoyable. You know, my parents lied to me. It was not the best time of my life. And it was like, when I came into the online business space, I felt so vulnerable already. And like, now I had to be more vulnerable. And I don't know about you, one of the first things, very first things I was taught in online business was the know, like, and trust. You know, that's what we're doing. We're building know, like, and trust with our audience. And in the last year, I was like, I kind of feel like that's dead now. Like, I get this sentiment, but I feel like we have to really understand ourselves. We have to know, like, and trust ourselves before we can even start to really get our audience, you know, to understand what we're selling. You know, you said about putting out tons of surveys for people that you don't even know. Like, that's the thing. Half the time I feel like we do work and we follow these kind of laid out structures of what to do, but it's still a guess. We get the answers and we're still not really sure, and we still feel like we're guessing. And I think if somebody had told me 5 years ago that I could be doing what I'm doing now, or to, you know, just go with your intuition, I would be like, I do not know what that is. Just give me a roadmap. Because again, it came back to a lot of societal constructs of like, you needed to work hard. You had to work harder than everybody else. And when I came into online business, I discovered that nobody was going to pay me more for working harder. Like, that didn't matter. And I had to learn how to both be a business owner and play all these different parts in my business, graphic designer and a content creator. And I don't think I fully understood that until I was in it. And at the beginning, it was super fun and everything was new, but it very quickly was like, oh, this is a lot. And this is a lot of different things. And we started to see new platforms come out, and it was just, it became very overwhelming very quickly. And I kind of lost myself in that process. And it was only, as I said, a couple of years ago when I came out of online business coaching and I didn't hire a coach. And I was terrified because I didn't think I could do it on my own. How was I going to do it without being told what to do? But I really quickly realized that being told what to do all of the time by, in my case, the wrong people, wasn't actually getting me anywhere. And that by learning what I needed and tapping into my intuition, I was able to really identify what I was willing to do and then also have to unpack all of the stuff that I was like deeply rooted in my business that I no longer wanted to be doing.
Yeah. And what I hear too is that self-validation. I started validating myself. That was something, yeah, I really, really stepped into as well was, oh, no one else is really going to validate me. Like what, even if some business person I've been following for a long time, like likes my Instagram post or sends me a DM and says, you're doing a good job. Like, is that what I'm really after? No, it's that feeling of trusting in your intuition and trusting in yourself, which really brings me to something I wanted to touch on, which is, you know, I'm sure for a lot of people listening, they're like, yeah, I love this. Or maybe they're in the beginning stages of their business. I'd love to trust myself more. But like you said, in the beginning, it's like, well, what? I can't even imagine that. So like, what would you tell someone? Like, where would you tell them to start if they're like, okay, I really like the idea of tapping into my intuition and doing what I really want in my life and business, but I don't know where to begin?
That's a really good question. And I think that it really starts. Okay, so the first thing I would say is we need to be compassionate with ourselves because for me, I didn't even know. I was like, I don't even know what this is. It felt super uncomfortable. Like for me, if we're going to talk about like feminine and masculine energies, I was very much data driven. That was, although my personality is not like that, that was where I had kind of found myself. And that was what I was looking to all the time. So for me, trying to tap into my feelings, what I needed, that felt very painful. It felt very uncomfortable. And it was a really long process. But for me, that tapping into my intuition started off by identifying what I needed. And I didn't necessarily know that's what I was doing, but it was about understanding what I need through self-inquiry. So being really curious about what I was feeling, what I am feeling, I still do this now, anything I'm experiencing, and then where I want to move to. So it's kind of, what am I experiencing right now? What is this tension or this fear, anxiety, or frustration in my business? You know, why am I feeling jealous of this person? Or why do I suddenly feel like I'm not worthy of success? And practicing that self-awareness, understanding that whenever my inner critic shows up, it's trying to protect me. It's trying to keep me safe. And the voice that comes up when my inner critic is speaking to me is very binary. It's like, you're either brilliant or you're rubbish. Like there's no in between. So for me, self-inquiry is really about being compassionate. It's not about being forceful with those questions. It's about saying, okay, I wonder why I do this. I wonder why I go onto Instagram, for example, and very quickly I'm distracted, or why I'm very quickly feeling like my work is not valuable, or I should change my prices, or I should change my branding. And there's so many instances in our day where we could be very subtly distracted by something, whether it's social media or anything else, and all of a sudden we don't see our worth. And so for me, this kind of took the form of self-inquiry through journaling, but specifically business journaling. And again, I touched on this earlier about this kind of prescription that I used to get from coaches. But again, sitting down to write about how I felt, it felt like I was, to go to your point, it felt like I was in high school again, like writing, Dear Diary, today I kissed a boy. It's like, I don't know what to write. And when I started to allow my journaling to just be focused on business, I really was able to uncover so much about the kind of business owner I wanted to be, conversations that I may have had to have with, you know, one of my team or somebody I was working with or a collaborator. It was kind of this private and personal space where I could be curious and I could come to some conclusions about how I was feeling without having to kind of blast it on the internet, because, you know, our personal lives and our self-care are kind of like hot commodity now. And for me, this was a private and personal place where I could uncover the kind of business owner I wanted to be before I went out into the world and said, hey, this is the kind of business owner I am. And I think it's not, there's this whole area of journaling, especially for business owners, that is missing, because we can use these, if you're already a journaler, you can tap into your business journaling as well. And if you're completely new to journaling or been very resistant to it and have a lot of blank journals that you haven't filled, this is a really wonderful way of just starting small and being really compassionate with yourself about how you feel about your business.
I love the idea too of doing this kind of business journaling for business. Cause I think, you know, I'm used to journaling for self-care, and sometimes it's hard to get myself to actually journal and do the thing, but to give yourself a space to specifically journal about what you want in your business off of social media too, because I think a lot of times we feel like we're venting or getting things out by sharing things online when really we're still holding ourselves back. So having a journal to do that changes everything. And I'd love for you to tell everyone more about your Outlaw journal and how that really plays a role in this process.
Yeah. So I created the Outlaw journal because, well, honestly, it was this, I felt like I needed it. So this really goes against a lot of what we're taught in online business, because we're taught to create what our audience is asking us for. And at the end of last year, I was like, I really need a journal with prompts that help me. You know, I'd gone back over my own journals and I had these, you know, days and days of writing about my business and thoughts and feelings. And this was something that really helped me uncover how I felt about online business, but it really helped me in 2020 as well, because my business took so many turns and I really had to lean into my self-inquiry and spiritual work. So I knew that I wanted an Outlaw journal and I created it. And it was really interesting experience because nobody was asking me for it. But what I realized is that nobody knew they needed it. That was the first thing. So sometimes we can create things that people aren't asking for, but if we are really passionate about it and we know that we know that it needs to exist and we know that it will help people, I think that's really important. And I would encourage anybody to really look at that, because sometimes we can be so overwhelmed with, well, what should I do? And should it be the right thing? And trust me, I was there many times during this process, but I just kept coming back to the fact that I already knew what needed to go into it. And so when I created the Outlaw journal, I broke it down into really what I consider to be the anatomy of an entrepreneurial outlaw. Preface this by saying, you know, whatever an entrepreneurial outlaw means to you, but these are the kind of six characteristics that I've identified as, you know, the work I've been doing as entrepreneurial outlaws. And I broke the journal down into these six journaling sections. So the first thing is that we have this really clear vision. I think as entrepreneurial outlaws, we have a really clear vision about what we want in our business. We have this unconditional success, this thing that we believe in. And maybe it doesn't look like the business over there on Instagram or the perfectly curated feed. Maybe other people don't understand why. You know, for me, at least pre-pandemic, one of the reasons I had an online wanted to run an online business was to have the freedom to be able to go to concerts. And I wanted to be able to pay for those concerts and be able to stay in hotels so I didn't have to come home at 2 a.m. That was one of the reasons for me having my own business and being able to pay for that. Not everybody's going to have the same goals. So having that really clear vision and understanding what it is that we want from that is really powerful. Identifying what you need, we've already talked about that a little bit, but identifying what you need as an entrepreneur outlaw in your business helps you to make faster business decisions. It helps you to say no. It helps you to experience less self-doubt because you know exactly what your terms are. You know, you get curious, you're asking questions, and typically we're driven by creativity and passion. So again, we identify as creatives, even if we're not designing or an artist or a singer or a songwriter, even if we're not in those kind of typical creative passions, we still are driven by creativity. Whatever we're doing in our business, we are being creative. And I think entrepreneurs typically are very creative beings. And it's about tapping into your intuition and inner wisdom as well. So again, you know, really asking yourself those questions, being curious so that you can understand what you are feeling and how you want to move from here to there, understanding why you do certain things. And it's all anchored in our core values. You know, as again, as entrepreneur outlaws, what I typically see is that we are running businesses that are diverse and inclusive. We are working towards anti-racist businesses. We want to ensure that we are really speaking up and using our platforms for good, and that the wealth that we build is also being used for good. And so when we look at being an entrepreneurial outlaw and the Outlaw Journal in itself, it kind of encompasses all six of these areas, and it's journal prompts to challenge you. And sometimes it's not comfortable. Even some of the ones I've got to, I'm like, why did I write this? This is horrible. I'm like, I don't want to answer this. But it's a journal where you can either go from page one to the end, or you can just pick pages or pick sections that you feel in that moment. But the idea is that it's expansive. It's really simple. And it's the idea is to give you the clarity you need in your business at that time. And it's really, business journaling is about the feelings of your business. So we're not talking about how to launch or, you know, how to do X, Y, Z in your business. It's about, how do I feel about this?
Yeah. And this stuff is so powerful. And I know for me, it's not always the sexiest stuff, right? I know it's hard to get myself to sit down and do the mindset work, so to speak, or really tap into what I need and what I want. Because in my mind, right, and a lot of people feel this way, it's like, oh, I'm not going to make money immediately from this, right? Or I'm not going to get more followers for doing this, or whatever the things that you feel sometimes pressured to accomplish in a certain amount of time. But I can't tell you, just from speaking experience, and I still need to get a copy of your journal, by the way. Like every time I hear you talk about it, I'm like, oh my gosh, I need these prompts in my life. But to take time to really sit down and answer these questions on an ongoing basis. And it doesn't sound like you need to do it like a ton. It's not like you're asking people to sit down for hours every day, right? Like just pick one every couple of days and give yourself time to free write. Having that confidence, having the ability to trust in yourself, that's worth so much, because you are going to hit points in your business where it doesn't matter who you pay or what you try to seek out. The only person that's going to be able to make the best decision for your business and your clients or your students or whatever is you. And if you're not prepared to ask yourself tough questions in the moment when you run into tough business decisions, it's going to be even worse, right? I've been there. I've definitely had those moments, and I probably still will. Or you're like, I don't know. I don't know how to trust myself in this moment. And so creating this practice of really embodying what it means to be an outlaw is going to come back tenfold in terms of value in your business.
Yeah. And to just add to that, I think the reason this is also so powerful is because most of the time we do already know. We don't know, but we do know.
Yeah.
And I saw this wonderful quote just recently, which said, when we say I don't know, what we actually mean is I do know, but I'm scared.
Mm.
And I catch myself talking about parts of my business and I'll be like, I'm not sure. I don't know what it looks like. And I'm now at the point where I see it and I hear it and I'm like, nope, I do know. I just not 100% certain yet. Like I do know, and I know somewhere deep inside me, I know what it will look like, but I'm just not there yet. And maybe I'll never be there. And that's the other thing, to kind of come full circle. We're allowed to change our mind. That's a huge part of the outlaw experience. Like permission to change your mind, permission to do what feels right. I feel like, you know, it's been a really interesting journey, and people have got from it so many different things, but it's so expansive and it feels like it's going to go in so many different places. And you're right, it's not the sexy work. And that's challenging sometimes, because I'm like, people come to me once they've tried everything else and they're fed up, and I try not to take that personally. It's fine, but it's just not the sexiest work to be doing.
No, and I get it. And along the same lines, you also posted a quote recently that really resonated, and it said, you know, you can't plan and batch the human experience because first you have to live it. And I think sometimes we forget that we're humans first, right? We want to just live and create through our business as if we don't have to tap into what we need as humans. And I know you also talked more about this. I was listening to your podcast specifically on episode 31, and you said, we evolve. You said this idea that whatever business we start with is the business we will end up with is really unrealistic. Can we talk about that for a second? Because I was nodding my head so hard during that whole episode.
Yeah. Well, I think it comes back to something you had mentioned earlier about, like, when you start your business, we'll do market research, or we'll send out surveys, or we'll ask questions. And really what happens is we learn how to start a business, or we learn the kind of fundamentals, those foundational pieces of business. You know, you need to bring people into your business. You need to talk about what you're doing. You need to, you know, decide that you're going to sell whatever it is that you're selling. You need to price it. There's all these things that at the core still make sense. And then there's lots of variations of how we do those things. But typically what happens is we're told, and I think this is what I was referring to in that episode, we are told to price our product, for example, or we're told to price our coaching, or we're told to create an hourly rate. And there's always this idea, and I don't think that anyone's ever, at least not in my situation, anyone's ever said to me, this is it, you're going to do this for the rest of your life. But nobody ever told me I didn't have to either. It was never that, you know, I'm a rule follower. So you tell me that this is my hourly rate. Well, this is my hourly rate. This is what I'm charging now. This is the price. This is the way I do things. So really what I see as business owners, I feel like entrepreneurship is the biggest personal development journey we go on. I mean, I didn't do any personal development work before I became a business owner. I don't think I even used the word mindset. And now it's a huge part of my business and a huge part of my day. And as we go through that journey, and as we tap into whatever our personal development looks like for ourselves, whatever our self-inquiry practice is, we evolve. We naturally evolve. It's the same way our comfort zones evolve. We welcome in new people or new things into our comfort zones. We also let go and release certain people, relationships, situations, language, or anything that we now don't feel comfortable with. We release that, and we also welcome new things in. And so as we evolve, our businesses evolve. And that's okay, firstly. And what we can find is that, again, we've touched on this a little bit today, our audience can change. Our quote, ideal audience might evolve with us, or we might find that we're speaking to a whole new group of people. And we might find that we're speaking to multiple groups of people. And I think as business owners, we need to understand that sometimes we can't plan and batch for those things. We can't plan and batch for everything. Like, I love a good framework, but I can't do anything now that feels really rigid. And I think also that speaks to the last 12 months, you know, everything that I did pre-pandemic suddenly stopped working. And it was because I was a different person, and my situation was different, and my life looked different, and I didn't really know what was coming or what was not happening. And so I kind of learned to go with the flow, which is very uncomfortable for me. But now I lean into that, and it's like, well, we have to live it. Sometimes we have to be inspired by the things that we're going through. We have to allow for that space and that expansiveness, because sometimes inspiration is just not going to show up at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Monday because we put it in our diary, because we put it in our Google Calendar and said, I'm going to write content. It doesn't mean that you're going to be inspired to write content. And giving ourselves that space to breathe, to be creative, to feel inspired, to do the things that allow us to do that really helps us to, I think, be better business owners, be better content creators as well.
What a beautiful permission slip to not only, like, let yourself evolve as a business owner, but I'm thinking, I was like listing off all these things in my head when you were talking, like, I'm really thinking too about, like, what my schedule looks like on a daily basis. And like, that's shifting a lot lately, and how I used to work better like late at night. And now I really like working in the morning more. And it's just really understanding that you're not failing or doing things right or wrong because you're shifting and evolving. Like, you're honoring your creative process. And I think that shifts so much all the time. And like you said, our audience does too. We're all fluid human beings in so many different ways. And I think when we honor that, I think it's felt too, like from our audience, like even just to, you know, as someone that follows you and has watched your journey, I've been like on the edge of my seat the whole time, because the more you discover and share, the more I'm like, oh my gosh, like she's going on this journey and I'm getting so much out of it. Like, I'm learning so much from you as you share these things that are coming up, as you talk about mindset, as you talk about doing things differently, and it's really resonating with people. So I think what you're really saying, or what I really want to hit home here for anyone listening, is that as you shift and adapt, you're giving people a gift more than you think. Sharing how you're changing is really beneficial to people. And so, yeah, not to be afraid of it, for sure.
Yeah.
I have enjoyed this conversation so much. I feel like we could talk another hour about so much. thank you so much for being here. It was so much fun. But before I let you go, can you let everyone know like where to find you, where your podcast is, and where they can find your journal?
Yes. Oh, the podcast is Entrepreneurial Outlaws. You can find it on Apple, Spotify, Google, anywhere where you download your favorite podcasts. We are there. And you can also find a full transcription on my website. So my website is melanienights.com. And if you go to melanienights.com/podcast, we have the latest episodes on there with a full transcription, show notes, links, all that kind of good stuff. Instagram is probably the place where I share the most of my content. And I have two accounts. The podcast account is entrepreneurial_outlaws. This is when everybody finds out they can't spell entrepreneurial because I misspell it all the time. And then my personal account is melanie_knights87.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And we will have all of those linked in the show notes as well. But again, Melanie, thank you so much for being here. And it was really fun talking about all of this with you today.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Mindful Productivity Podcast. If you enjoy the show, make sure you hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. And hey, we'd love to keep the conversation going. Come on over to Instagram, tag me and Melanie. I'm at Mindful Productivity Blog. We would love to hear your thoughts on what you took away from our conversation today. To find more resources, planners, and information on how to self-publish your own journal or planner, make sure you head on over to mindfulproductivityblog.com, where you will find everything you need there. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be back here next Monday with a brand new episode.